The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On a Sabbath, he went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. In front of him, there was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus spoke to the scholars of the law and Pharisees in reply, asking, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silence. So he took the man, and after he had healed him, dismissed him. Then he said to them, "Who among you, if your son or ox falls into a cistern, would not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" But they were unable to answer his question. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, 'Give your place to this man,' and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, 'My friend, move up to a higher position.' Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." One of his fellow guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is the one who will dine in the kingdom of God." He replied to him, "A man gave a great dinner to which he invited many. When the time for the dinner came, he dispatched a servant to say to those invited, 'Come, everything is now ready.' But one by one they all began to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I have purchased a field and must go to examine it. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have purchased 5 yoke of oxen and am on my way to evaluate them. I ask you, consider me excused.' And another said, 'I have just married a woman and therefore I cannot come.' The servant went and reported this to his master. Then the master of the house, in a rage, commanded his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in here the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame.' The servant reported, 'Sir, your orders have been carried out, and still there is room.' The master then ordered the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedgerows and make people come in, that my home may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited will taste my dinner.'" Great crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and addressed them. "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, 'This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish.' Or what king, marching into battle, would not first sit down and decide whether, with 10,000 troops, he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be flavored? What can its flavor be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. The Gospel of the Lord. It seems that chapter 14 of Luke's Gospel is about poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here Christ speaks not about holding on to things in our hearts. Whether it's wealth, honors, or even some ideas, we are to relinquish things that get in our way of our relationship with him. At the end of the chapter, he speaks about the necessity of letting go of our possessions. Every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. On the one hand, there's the reality of family. We don't really possess our family, but attachments to family can possess our hearts. And if that gets in the way of the gospel, then we can't make it as his disciples. On the other hand, there is the reality of resources. He gives these two parables about not having enough resources to build a tower or to defend ourselves from an aggressor. What you'd think he's about to say that is in those times we need to trust in God. Yet what he says is that we need to let go of possessions. Thus, it's about letting go of the worldly possessions that would hinder our hearts from entrusting ourselves to God. In other words, any physical things, whether it be people or financial resources, any of those things that get in the way of us giving our hearts to Christ are unacceptable to him. He then goes even deeper, though, because in the middle of the chapter, he also speaks about being detached from honors. Physical possessions are one thing, but having honor and a good name before others is a little more personal. He uses these parables of where we sit at the table and who we invite to sit at our table. He uses them to show that even honors can get in the way of the relationship that we have with the Lord. For if we are prideful about our gifts or the things that we're good at, or who we can become prideful about who we have around us, and only want to be in the company of the wealthy or the famous, it's in these times that we've missed the most important thing, God himself. And again, when our hearts are there, when we don't give our hearts first to Christ, but seek worldly honors, that too is unacceptable. If that wasn't enough, though, Christ goes still one level deeper. Because poverty of spirit is not just about possessions and honors. At the beginning of the chapter, Luke recounts another of Jesus' healings on the Sabbath. In chapter 13, like we heard about last week, the Pharisees come after Jesus because they're upset that he's healed a crippled woman on the Sabbath. But here in Luke 14, it's Jesus who speaks to the scholars of the law and the Pharisees first. He sees this repeated situation of a healing on the Sabbath. And rather than letting their anger flare up at his actions when they see something that they don't like, Jesus asks them a question, and then he heals. This is his invitation to them to convert their minds, to let go of their preconceived notions of the law that don't fit in with the greater law, the law of charity. In a sense, Jesus offers a challenge on the level of the intellect so that their minds can come to a deeper understanding of truth. And it's the same poverty of spirit that we are invited into. Sometimes we think we know better than others. Sometimes we might even think that we know better than the church herself. Sometimes we misread signs and words of things happening around us, and so we end up coming to false conclusions. Whatever it is, the Lord is inviting us to check all of our ideas and see how they fit into the true reality of His perfect law, the law of charity. He's inviting us to put aside any of our personal interpretations if they are contrary to what He teaches or what His bride, the church, hands on to us. In a sense, this is an even deeper poverty of spirit because it's entirely interior. Now, lest I be misunderstood, this is not to say that all our beliefs are wrong. Rather, it's to say that all our beliefs need to be checked by the Lord's measure, not our measure. All the ideas and beliefs that we have, if they are not in accord with Christ, His gospel, and His church, then we'll end up like the Pharisees and scholars of the law, who wouldn't even offer charity to a crippled woman. In each of these ways, possessions, honor, and even ideas, the Lord is inviting us to be poor in spirit, to see and seek Him before everything else, so that nothing will distract our hearts from Him, but rather in all things we will be able to offer Him the whole of our lives. Lord Jesus, You who teach what true poverty of spirit looks like, You who desire that we put You before possessions, honors, and even ideas, we come to adore You, present before us in this most blessed sacrament, seeking to be faithful to You in all things. Help us to live in Your charity, to live out Your law of charity, so that our minds and hearts can be transformed by Your truth and by Your charity, so that one day we may come to Your table at the eternal banquet, as poor and underprepared as we may be, and then dine in the kingdom of heaven with You and all the saints for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.